The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. Today we're going to take a look at what's on our plates, what's in the grocery stores, and if it can do us harm or if most of it is relatively benign. If I would ask you, for instance, what is GE? What does GE stand for? Or what does GM stand for? Probably a substantial number of people would respond, well, GE is General Electric, of course, and GM is General Motors. But that's not the GM and the GE that we need to be concerned about today. That's becoming part of our lives in ways we're not even aware of at this point in time. GE actually stands for genetically engineered, and GM stands for genetically modified. GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. And we have new genes being inserted into the DNA of our plants. Many of our kinds of basic foodstuffs that are potentially harmful to human beings and have been shown to be harmful in the animal studies that have been done. But we don't hear enough about this. We don't know that we're exposing ourselves actually to pesticides that can then get into our own intestinal tracts. There is our own government actually is subsidizing the situation based on its own erroneous policy. Right now, we have more than 80% of our corn is genetically modified corn. Much of it is BT corn, which is a Monsanto creation that has its own built-in pesticide. Anyone who eats it can then become a living pesticide factory, since BT corn contains pesticides in its DNA, which then transfers into human DNA. These kinds of messing around with the DNA, with our own most basic fundamental human parts, is highly dangerous. They have shown in various studies that not only can it cause problems with immune systems, it can cause gastrointestinal problems, it can cause liver problems, kidney problems. They have even linked it to various other diseases and to cancers, to death. This is something that is no laughing matter. It's something that we need to pay far more attention to. Mostly because this GMO corn has not been sufficiently tested, so we Americans have become the unwitting guinea pigs for this testing. The whole idea initially was that in the genetically engineered, the genetically modified BT corn, for instance, that it would make it resistant to insects and to pests that would kill it. And instead of having to spray Monsanto's Roundup Ready pesticide, Monsanto had the idea it would just put that gene into the corn, and the corn itself wouldn't need to be sprayed. It would instead resist any kind of pests that would normally attack it. Well, that's not happened. In fact, it's becoming a nightmare. Not only does it not prevent pests from attacking it, but it leads to more resistant bugs. It leads to greater crop problems. It leads to having to spray it more heavily with pesticides now because the bugs have become resistant to it. And the people that work in the fields have become ill. We're changing our environment, and you can never do that without serious, far-ranging results down the lane a little bit. In fact, Monsanto's own research found that rodents that were fed BT corn had significant immune reactions to it. BT corn is also implicated in the deaths of cows in Germany and chickens and horses in the Philippines. Now, the agribusiness marketing campaign has been so effective that the average American consumer, for instance, actually believes that this BT corn-fed beef, or what we just call corn-fed beef, is a positive attribute of meat. But the opposite is true. Cows never eat corn in their natural state. Never. They are made by nature to eat grass. If a cow eats corn, it dies. It becomes congested and compacted within its digestive system, and the corn will actually kill that cow within 6 months, which is the reason that our slaughterhouses kill those cows right before they hit that six-month point. It fattens them up, but it also murders them. Factory farming has removed cows from their natural environment all the way around. They're away from the grasses they eat, and instead, by the tens of thousands, they're now crowded into grassless feedlots where they spend the last months of their lives standing knee-deep in dirt and manure, eating a dried corn diet that sickens them. So our corn-fed beef is anything but healthy. It's also no accident that E. coli and other foodborne illnesses are on the rise across this country. There's a documentary movie called Food Incorporated, which exposes agribusiness's harmful effects on animals and the safety of our food supply, and on the rise of E. coli in everything from hamburger to lettuce as a result of toxic factory farming. There were thousands of slaughterhouses in our country as recently as the 1970s. There were thousands of them. Today there are only 17 in the entire United States. We've lost 5 million family farms since the rise of factory farming 30 years ago. The result has become unnatural and unsafe food. The hamburger that we are all now eating is likely to be made, for instance, not from a single cow that's had some of its lesser cuts ground into ground beef, but from thousands of animals in any package of ground beef. We are raising exponentially the risk of mad cow disease, salmonella, and other illnesses. According to the New York Times, you may have read this, the majority of hamburger now sold in our country contains fatty slaughterhouse trimmings that the industry once relegated to just going into pet food or cooking oils. It includes material from the outer surface of the carcass, and it contains a lot of extra germ populations. This is meat filler, or what is commonly called pink slime, by one FDA microbiologist. And it's used even in our federal school lunch programs. It's used in our favorite fast food restaurant burgers and in grocery store ground beef as well. This nasty stuff is ineffectively cleaned with ammonia to cut its toxicity. Beef Products Incorporated is the company that makes this. It actually saves 3 cents a pound in production costs, earning itself an extra $440 million a year by marketing this product to people who use ground beef. So as corporations are getting richer, we're getting sicker and fatter. We keep running to doctors and to drugstores looking for relief because their income depends on us not finding any. Corporations are pushing their double goals of both profit and efficiency, but it's at the cost of our very lives. So our only defense is to educate ourselves. Genetically modified organisms have now infiltrated almost every nook and cranny of our food system, leaving us vulnerable to a host of problems, which include infertility and accelerated aging, negative changes in our livers and in our kidneys, and like I said, leukemias and other cancers, even into Alzheimer's. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine concluded that this is not just a causal association between GM foods and adverse health. This is causation of adverse health effects. There is a renowned biologist named Pushpa Gargaza who says that GMOs are a major contributor to the deteriorating health in our country. Scientists at the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, have warned that GM foods might create new toxins and allergies, poisons and diseases, and nutritional problems in us. With GM foods everywhere, the only way we can react is to become proactive and health-wise, to opt out of genetically modified foods. One way we can do this is by printing off the non-GMO shopping guide at nongmoshoppingguide.com. It's a 20-page full-color guide that is replete with all kinds of wisdom when it comes to GMO-free foods that are safe to eat. Other countries require labeling of genetically modified foods. Europe requires it. In fact, the United States is the only country that basically expressly forbids it. None of our foods, you'll notice, say non-GMO or this food contains GMOs. It's up to a company itself if it wants to put that on its label. But it's so important for all of us as our defense against the onslaught of engineered foods that it's up to each of us to begin to look at only eating organic. Some people object to this, saying it's too expensive, but honestly, it's not that much more expensive than these other foods. You want to stay away from foods in beautiful, brightly colored boxes that look good. You've got to read labels. And basically, if you're looking to buy organic, look for 5 numbers on the sticker that's on the fruits and vegetables instead of the normal 4. That's one way you can tell if something is organic. Most things right now, though, are posted as organic. I would urge you to stay away from the foods that are very heavily organic, and that is corn, soybeans, canola, cottonseed, sugar beets, Hawaiian papaya, which is most papaya, and there are some zucchini and yellow squash that are also genetically modified. More than 80% of our corn is genetically modified, and almost 100% of our soy is genetically modified. Soy used to be what you would turn to if you were a vegetarian or you wanted to stay away from meats, as you're trying to stay away from all of the hormones and the other garbage that is now injected into our cows, forced into their feed. But anymore, soy has become dangerous. It causes changes that we can't even imagine yet. They have recorded sterility in animals, birth defects. It's just not worth the risk. Anyway, I would urge everybody to go ahead and check out the website, non-GMO Shopping Guide. That's all one word, non-GMOshoppingguide.com. Take a look at that. You'll get the information plus the listings of everything from vitamins to meats to cereals, snack bars, spices, meat, fish, eggs, feed and seed, dairy products. You'll see it all. And it's a darn good start to taking back control of our own health. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.